Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us and showing us the biblical examples of how to live with the people around us. And in Jesus' name, we give you thanks and pray and amen. As we pray and read our Bible, we find more ways to demonstrate our biblical belief and understanding to those around us. By reading the Bible certainly helps, and God does instruct us as we ask for direction and pray. I used to wonder about what was going on in life and all the things around us. We have Bible verses that we look at and we read and we try to understand. I know once I was wondering about it's Ecclesiastes 4:10-4:12. And it says that a cord of three strands is not easily broken. And after a while, I got to understand that it was a principle in human relations where we have two people in a strand, and then there is the third strand, which is the Holy Spirit of God. And now that one would not be easily broken. Certainly, when we have human relationships, which would be two strands, they can be broken, and we know about that from life experience. But when you add the Holy Spirit to that rope, then we know that that rope is not easily broken. That's what I thought about when I pondered that Ecclesiastes 4:12. And there are a lot of things that we can read and understand in the Bible and get to have a fuller meaning from what we understand. And we do have a joyous bond with people, many people. We have a joyous bond with God and with church people. And this is all a part of that three-strand cord that is not easily broken as we have fellowship with the Christians around us and the personal people in our life. Well, I remember a few years, it's been in 20 years ago, I went to museums in Europe, and it was very interesting. And one of the parts of that trip was to go to the Vatican in Rome. And it was interesting because there was a couple that my wife and I met, and they were Christians from Oklahoma. And somehow, just us being Christians right outside the Vatican made a bond between us. So that is also a form of the bond of that cord with the Holy Spirit and other people. So the cord that is God's Holy Spirit among people, again, that is not easily broken. And if we are a couple, a married couple, and we have a bond, that is also a bond that is not easily broken. So here we have church. We have Christian people around us. That also is a bond. And when we add the Holy Spirit to that bond, it is not easily broken. And that's something that is a wonderful part of life, how we have the relationship with God, Jesus, around us, with us, and in the strength of the people of God. So, Lord, guide us and help us to further these bonds with the Christians around us. I think of many Christians in life, and like I said, I was in a foreign land once, and the fact that there was another Christian couple right near us made a bond so apparent. And when you're in a foreign land that does not seem to have a Christian element around it, yes, even though we were at the Vatican, it was not exactly feeling like a strong Christian bond with that location. But the couple we met was a wonderful bond, and there we have the Holy Spirit that is active in our life. and this is a form of a bond. And today we have bonds that go on around us, and we love the fellowship of the Christian people that are around us. Here locally, wherever you are in your church, it's wonderful to have a familiarity. I know one of the places that I like to go is to a Christian location. One of them is the One Store in Chico. It is a place that has Christian books and Bibles and Christian apparel. There are cards and gift things right there at the One Store. And it's located at 977 East Avenue, Suite 40. And you can call them for directions or for what they have. Their phone number is 1-530-965-5939. Or you can contact them through the internet at www.onewaywithlife.com. So there are different ways to have a connection with people, with Christians, and we reach out to people, and this is a very nice. So I know the people at that Christian One Store, and it is very pleasant to have Christian conversation about things of Jesus and the Bible. It's really very wonderful. Well, perhaps you would like to have more Christian conversation with people. It might be the people around you, it might be in church, and it might be at the One Store. There are many people of faith around us. And I know that we do try to talk to people about our faith, and sometimes that is easy, and sometimes it is not easy. Well, about a week ago, I had a conversation with a young man who is my relative. He was about 11, maybe he was 12, and he attends public school, and we had really a good conversation, but it was kind of painful because he knew all about evolution, and as he had learned about evolution, he simply was not hardly open to anything about God and the Bible and how there was a separate theory beside the theory of evolution. There was not an openness to realizing there was the hand of God in the history of man. So it was interesting to see that those few years, was it 6 or 7 years of public education, had so thoroughly indoctrinated him. A smart young man who, of course, wanted to please his teachers, just like we have been told that you were to obey the authorities, including the teachers. So it makes it pretty hard for a young person to learn something that is not similar to what public education teaches. It's something that we are all going to have to deal with in the world around us and even in our very own family. How we have teachers teaching one thing, and if we believe in Jesus Christ and that God created the universe, well, then we have to explain it and be sure that the people know that evolution is a theory and there are other options. I just think it's good to talk to the young people at an early age so that they can have a concept of another way of looking at life instead of the evolution that is taught in public school. Well, we are on a search for truth. Oh, and that's one of the things you can also tell, that we are in a search for truth. And there are truths that are believed by some people and truths that are believed by other people. So recognize that there are different ways of looking at the world and its creation. It's what we do, and it's how we talk to the young people around us, and we want to talk to them while they are still willing to look at the supremacy of God and how God created things. It's a biblical concept, and if we could tell a young person about a biblical concept, I think it would certainly greatly help them and the world around all of us. We all do have a system of faith, a belief system, and it's either going to go toward the way of the world or towards the way of the Bible. And it's something that we will all have the effect of in our life as we deal with people who treat us with godly dignity as we age, or if we're going to have the people say only the strong survive, and as an older person you might not be as strong as the younger people, and they might say, oh well, you're weak and we are going to take over. Well, it's a matter of trying to figure out how you're going to live according to the values that you know are right, and you can demonstrate them to the younger generation. Well, we always wonder about the truth, and the truth is in the Bible. I think of different things the Bible talks about, and one of them is Matthew 17:21, where Jesus says that there is a certain spirit, a demon, that comes not out but by prayer and fasting. So when we are dealing with, I will call it, with evil spirits, unclean spirits, we might have to pray and fast in order to have a victory over that spirit, a godly victory, something where we are preaching the good word of God through Jesus Christ, as we are perhaps telling a younger person about the truth of the Bible and that Jesus is true. Well, there's many things that we can look at as we seek to talk with people, and certainly younger people, and certainly people within our very own family. We will have worldly things to deal with as we talk to the many people around us. And today, we do want to understand that there is a wonderfulness to God and His creation. That wonder we celebrate, whether it's with our own life or the life that goes on around us, certainly the people we love, and we want them to know about Jesus. And one of the things about Jesus is that even if we have a different idea, we are not judging them, but they can be told about how Jesus will judge our eternal destination. Now, that's something that often is not welcome to be heard, that there is a judge and that He will judge us when we die. So, it's a matter of looking at the principles in the Bible and that there is a God. And we don't want to be distracted by the fantasies that we have, that we make up either in our own mind or the fantasies that other people tell us about. And there's so many of them. Other religions have beliefs that turn out to be fantasy. There are people who have a New Age opinion, and they think that because it's their opinion that it's right. But we have to weigh the understandings with well, really what it is with God's understanding and the history of the Bible. And that takes a mind that is an inquiring mind. We do have events around us that will move us towards truth, because we will have an event in life. It might be a painful event. And we say, oh, let's not have this happen again. So we try to live according to truth and according to righteousness. Often that is God's righteousness. and we don't want events to happen that bring trouble to our life. A few days ago, I was parked, and right near me, there was a highway patrol that stopped another vehicle, and I saw it happen. And I saw that there was a man who was driving that other vehicle, and he got arrested. I don't know why, but I saw it happen. And then, amazingly, within 10 minutes, a tow truck came and towed that vehicle away. And this is an example of how things happen in life, certainly that we don't expect, but we have rules that we have to follow. There's a legal rules that we have to follow, and we are all familiar with breaking the law. Oh, I shouldn't say that. We are all familiar with why we do not want to break the law, and we are familiar with consequences. And there is another law. It is God's law, and we do not want to break God's law because there are eternal consequences to breaking God's law, including that we lose the close relation with Jesus Christ. So that car that was stopped pretty much right in front of me, and I saw it happen that the man got arrested and the car got towed, that was a very quick thing. Now, for people in life, it takes a much longer time. It takes a lifetime to recognize that judgment will come upon us for the life that we led and the choices that we made in life, especially the one to make Jesus the Lord of our life. So, consequences. We make decisions, and our decisions have consequences. Whether they're as we drive, or something to do with the police, or something to do with God's judgment. Well, we do want to pay attention to the eternal truth, which is that God is real and the Bible is true. And there is a record of all that we do in life, and Jesus judges us based on the record of our life. Perhaps what we do, but ever the much more is, are we followers of Jesus Christ, and are we obedient followers of Jesus Christ? Life has consequences and life has judgment, just like the eternal life has consequences and judgment. And as we look at the Bible, we can see that we are in a certain biblical time. It just looks so obvious to us that we are close to the end of time. We are in the last days. And we can clearly understand that there is only a limited time left. Things are changing in the time frame of the end of time. So we all have a lifetime to figure out what we are going to believe and how we are going to live. Will it be according to the biblical principles, or will it be according to something else that we have decided we like? Well, again, these decisions have an eternal effect on our eternal life. So search it out, pray about it, and live according to a good and godly life. We do have expectations, of course, and it's something that we all have to investigate, and reading the Bible is a very good start. And then we have everything in life that we deal with. Similarly, we have social relations, we have government relation, we have religious relation, and we have a human condition that is all around us. And somehow, we get to figure out how we're going to live through all of these, I would say, complications, and how we're going to care for people, and what happens in life. And we see the the laws. Now, we can call them social laws or spiritual laws or even political laws, and they all have an effect on how we live our life and what happens in the long-established principles and moral choices that we make. Things are going to be good as we live a good and wholesome life according to God's will. And we will show kindness, and we pray that God grants us discernment to understand what goes on around us, spiritually and physically. There are times when people want to, manipulate us. And that's something which we always have to be careful about, because we want to follow God's morality and not be distracted by the things of this world. And that includes the practices of, corruption or bribery or something like that. I know in the Bible there's a couple of places in Deuteronomy and Exodus and Proverbs who tell us that we are not to have anything to do with bribery and to pervert justice. And right now we have perversions that are going on with so much corruption in the life around us, in the politics around us. And yet we know we want to remain godly people. And Jesus told his disciples to deny themselves and pick up the cross and follow Jesus. Now that's something that we are told to do in the example of the disciples. So we are going to try to do that and live according to everything that comes our way that is with the difficulties that we face in life, as we have the forces upon us that want to turn us one way or the other, either by bribery or by intellectual persuasion. And somehow we have to always go back to the Bible for every wisdom that we can search out and be faithful to God through Jesus Christ. We have people who want to, in effect, take our life over, take it from all the good things that we have, or even to take our life from us. And that reminds me of the chanting that has been going on around the Middle East lately, death to America and death to Israel. And we know there are people who really do feel this way, and they want to actually destroy America and Israel. That's been going on, and there are religions that oppose Christianity, like in Nigeria. In Nigeria, there have been the Muslims who have murdered Christians with machetes and with bullets. It goes on in this world, and somehow we have to be aware of these things, be protective of the innocent people around us and even ourselves, and understand how we are going to live through adverse times and conditions as we seek God's understanding and wisdom as to how we are going to deal with the chaos around us and the violence around us. And sometime there will be great discomfort and even adversity, and somehow we're going to get through it. As we stay faithful to God, we might be in a position of being a missionary. And I know that there are, in this world, there are people with all sorts of attitudes. There's some military people that I know they would say, kill all the opponents and let God sort them out. But as a Christian missionary kind of a person, we're going to have to learn to love the people around us. And yes, we defend the innocent around us also, But how are we going to love people to Jesus Christ as we live according to the gospel, the Bible, the Ten Commandments? And sometime we might think that Ten Commandments is a lot. If you think Ten Commandments is too many to learn, then just think of the two great commandments in Matthew 22:37, where Jesus said that we shall love the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, and our mind. That's the first and the great commandment. And the second is like unto it, that you shall love your neighbor as thyself. Just think about that. That's a lot of love. And that is what we are commanded to do. Love God and love our neighbor. Sometimes it's easy, and sometimes it's a real challenge. So we get to grow in faith as we walk with Jesus Christ. I think of, there's several psalms, like Psalm 139, where God is telling us to have discernment in our thoughts. There's John 14:2, and again, where God tells us to discern our thoughts, where we have that love for other people, love for God, and love for our neighbor. And sometimes it certainly is not easy, but that is what we are called to do. God calls us to be holy. In 1 Peter 1:15, the Bible tells us, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And still, as much as we try, we always find that there's more we could do or could have done. And we try to live according to the Bible. And a part of that is recognizing our lives and the mistakes in it, or you could say recognizing the sin in our life. And then we repent from our sin, which means we look away from it, turn away from it, and change our direction to living a holy life as best we are able. A few years back, I heard a preacher describe how it was to turn from your sin. And he said that just imagine yourself identifying your sin and putting it into a package and then putting that package on an altar before the Lord. And then you turn away. You turn your back on that sinful package of sin. And you never look back at it. You walk away and never look back. And that is an exercise that you can do to turn from your sins. Never again look back. And that's a matter of confessing your sin, putting it on the altar to God, and turning away from the sin and that unholiness. That is what we do as we seek to live according to God's will. And that demonstrates that we are longing to live that holy life according to God. Live in holiness. After all, that is what we're going to do in heaven, so we might as well get used to living that holy life. Yeah. I think of the things that are around us, though, and there are temptations, there are situations around us where we do get tempted to follow our feelings or our desires that are, especially the ones that are ungodly. And what do? We put them on that altar and we turn away from them and never look at them again. That's something we strive to do over and over. And it's not always easy. Maybe we just do it partly the first time, but then we do it more and more, and we turn away from our sin, walk away from it, and we strive to live that holy life. There's a lot of things in life where we want to be careful with our thoughts, there can be unpleasant thoughts or even unholy thoughts. And that is a part of what we strive to resist, to fight, to walk away from, to turn from, and turn to the holy life that God would have us to live. I think of that Revelation 21:8, where it tells us about what will happen if we sin. It names the sins and how we want to turn from our sin so that we do not go to that lake of fire that is for the devil and the people who are really living an unholy life. The lake of fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So, to avoid that, how do we do it? Sometimes we cannot do it all at one time, but we continue to take steps towards it. If we cannot do it all at once, we continue to confess our sin, confess our shortcomings, and to live a life according to what our Bible tells us. Now, obviously, there are some people, the souls of some people, that will go to that lake of fire. And Jesus will judge them and will judge us. And we seek to have the covering of God through Jesus Christ. And therefore, we would not have the penalties that a person who does not hold Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Well, I think of, again, Matthew chapter 7, verse 14, how we read and understand that we want to enter eternity on that narrow path and the narrow gate, and not be on that wide highway and the wide gate that leads to destruction. It's completely thought that is the road to salvation, and the wedding feast is the narrow path, and the wide road, the highway, and the big wide gate that leads to hell, and many there be that go into it. So we do have to understand what our Bible is telling us. We have to live the good life that we are called to live according to the Bible. And there are reminders of us to live that holy life. They're in Matthew. I do think of Matthew chapter 25, where it talks about the 10 dedicated virgins who were dedicated to temple service, which really means to God's service. Now, it is an example of what the Bible teaches us. So whether there is 10 virgins or not, it is a story that we can learn from. And the theme is of Matthew chapter 25 to be prepared. Physically prepared with oil for our lamp so it will light our way, and spiritually prepared for the oil. With the oil, which is always talked about as being the Holy Spirit of God. So we have the little warnings around us for what to do and how to live our life. And somehow we have to turn from our own desires of lustful living and have a good and godly life with the Holy Spirit of God guiding us. And we can see different things that it would mean one thing or another, but we do want to think about how there is a physical application and a spiritual application to being ready and prepared for life and how to live a holy life according to God, according to the Bible. Sometimes we have to pray about things, and we have to ask God to show us the truth. And there are people who get an immediate answer. I've known people who have prayed, and they get an immediate understanding. Not me. For me, it took me years of searching Scripture and books that talked about the Hebrew traditions. So we all have a different story about how we came to Christ and how we live faithfully according to the Word of God, the Bible. And I do think of the references in the Bible that tell us how to live holy. They're all through the Bible, in the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the Psalms and Proverbs. And I think that we want to seek to have a clear understanding of the principles. And we get that when we read the Bible. Over and over, there are many principles that we can learn as we read the Bible. And sometimes I kind of chuckle to myself at what we hear and what we learn. We learn more by reading the Bible, but sometimes we ask people for an understanding. I know we ask pastors for an understanding, and so often pastors can give us a very good understanding of what the Bible is talking about. And yet there is a passage in the Bible that said to trust not a man. And we know that there are men who are men of God, and there are men who are the leaders of a cult. And so we get that discernment for us to learn the godly understanding as we search Scripture. That's what we do. And we look over and over for understanding according to the Scripture as we seek God and as we seek the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, as he has shown himself in the Hebrew tradition to be the Lamb of God. And that means the sacrificial Lamb of God. And that's what the Hebrew tradition shows us so clearly, that there is a sacrifice to cover sin. And in the Hebrew tradition, it has been covered by the sacrifice of a lamb. And that is why Jesus Christ is known as the Lamb of God, because he was the sacrifice to cover our sin when we accept his sacrifice. And then we try to live that holy life. That pattern continues, to live a holy life without sin. I think there are the Hebrew people, the Jewish people, who can easily understand this pattern because it is what they have learned for hundreds of years, or even thousands of years, where the Hebrew tradition and the Jewish religion talks about a sacrifice which covers our sin. And that's a part of that tradition. Therefore, it should be easier for them to understand the function of Jesus Christ. And we get a better understanding when we understand and read about the Hebrew tradition. I think of Paul in Romans chapter 11, how he gives us a metaphor of how the Gentiles are brought into a relation with God through Jesus Christ. Sometimes we get very good details about what we are to know or to do or to believe in the Bible. And sometimes we get examples and we learn from what is written in the tradition of the Bible. It's often a little bit different, and we learn as we read and study and as we practice obedience. Yes, and that is clearly what we are to do. It is a matter of how Jesus obeyed God, and we obey Jesus. It is the way to God. And a part of that process is crucifixion, which Jesus went through. It is the sacrifice. And somehow we as Christians are also called to have a part of that sacrifice, the sacrifice of Jesus. And so very often in our life we will have hardship and difficulties where we learn to stay close to Jesus Christ as we go through the time of difficulty. And I know that in Christian literature there are people who have stood for Jesus Christ, and they have gone through a hard time, or perhaps even been a martyr, and they get close to Jesus Christ through their hard times or through a time of persecution. Perhaps it is in prison even. And these things take place in a physical reality, and then we get a spiritual benefit as we get closer to and closer to God through Jesus Christ. And then we live through the attacks that come about on us, the attacks that come about through the world, through the evil activity, and as we remain faithful to God through Jesus Christ in the world. We are going to suffer attacks because we will be attacked when we follow the will of God, when we live obediently to the Christian life. And we hunger for righteousness. That's a part of how we just might suffer at the hands of, well, anyway, it might be the government, it might be the people around us, it might be the laws that are put into place. Even if they are health mandates or laws that are made to keep people safe, but it still can be unfair to Christians. And somehow we're going to get through a time of difficulty and a time of unrighteous laws and of health mandates. And things are going to affect us. Why? Because we're following Jesus Christ, and we know that there will be persecution for those who follow Jesus Christ. And we will have things where we can turn to for relief. What are we going to turn to? God? Yes. And Jesus Christ? Yes. And there will be people who will not be able to withstand the difficulties of life that get thrown on them, and they will look for an escape. They might find drugs and alcohol to be the escape. And we are told not to do that because that is what is known as pharmakia in the Bible. It's something which we do have to watch out for, the drugs and alcohol or the things that are habitual in our life. I know that everything can be habitual, from our morning cup of coffee to showing compassion for people on a schedule. All these things can be a habit, and somehow we have to live a righteous life that puts God, Jesus Christ, first. And we learn how to do that as we continue and go forth. I'm not talking against coffee or against some of the certain habits. I'm just saying that we want to remember to put God first. And that's a part of that great commandment in Matthew 22:37, to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. And then the next one is to love your neighbor as yourself. That's the second great commandment. And somehow we are going to do that even in the midst of conflict that is around us. The conflict can be with laws and what we are required to do, or it can be through even conflict, maybe even terrorism, and that terrorism could affect our supply of food and water, or even electricity and gasoline. And these things are all possibilities in this world that we are living in, where there are attacks on our supply system, including our communication system. And what are we going to do if our communications, electricity, gasoline, and food and water, these things are all under attack, and we have been told that by various people in authority that they are under attack, and so far the cyber attacks have been unsuccessful in a mass disruption of what we depend on: water, food, gasoline, and electricity, communications. These are all things which are being attacked right now. And so when I talk about preparedness, we do have to be prepared about the things that could change in our life, what we depend on over and over to have a wonderful life. So we're all going to understand this differently, but there's some things that we can do to get through a hard time, whether that hard time is a few days or a few weeks. I know I've been in contact with emergency personnel, the first responders, and they talk about the people that they deal with in an emergency and how they can provide help. But there is a very uniform discussion that I am told about where the first responders will say that we ought to be prepared for a few weeks of disrupted services. And they talk about 3 or 4 weeks for the just in case. Do you have a few 5-gallon containers of water in case the electricity gets shut off and the water service does not come to your house anymore? What about food? What about how to cook your food or how to stay warm? There are some of the very basic things we can do, and if you think about them, you can make the plan too. There are plenty of people who have a list of emergency things you can put together now. I have an emergency list also about, I call it my preparedness notes. And they are free if you would send me a stamped self-addressed envelope. I'll send that back to you. Send it to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. It's always a question of what do we identify with to be prepared for? Should we identify with preparing for eternal life? Should we be prepared for the provisions that we would need if there is an emergency or a natural disaster or a terrorist event or a war event? All these things happen in life, and they could happen anytime with effectively no notice. It always gets to be a surprise. And even if we have our military looking for what could enter the country, it could be a missile, it could be drones, it could be a cyber attack. And these things have been happening for years on the U.S. supply system, on the U.S. government systems, on the U.S. military systems. There are people who want to break in to the computer systems and cause chaos in the life of us, all of us Americans. So there's another reason to prepare for the just in case. I hope you do look at what you might need to live through a time of trouble And you will also want to have a few extra Bibles and some hymnals so that you can sing praises and glory to God even in hard times. That's something that has gone on for hundreds and thousands of years, and it has happened for all of us. All of us who study history, we have seen it. We can study Christian history, and we can study book history of the world, and we know hard times have come. So please look at how you can prepare for a time of just-in-case trouble. Meanwhile, read your Bible, sing your psalms and songs, go to church, and pray. Pray to God. Have that conversation with Him so that you can have that relation that lasts eternally with Jesus Christ. God bless you.
Welcome to Preparedness Thoughts with John Stephenson. John understands the importance of being prepared. Through rain, rocks, and snow, he has seen it all and survived. He has seen major disasters like Mount St. Helens and how vehicles were stopped in the street from the volcanic ash. Earthquakes, too, including the Loma Prieta earthquake, which felt like it wouldn't stop shaking. People were without electricity and could not hardly buy groceries or gasoline. The homeless lit bonfires in the streets. The Bay Bridge and other freeways were broken. God only knows what will be next.
Welcome to Preparedness Thoughts by John Stephenson. We invite Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit to guide us as we determine how our preparations can be used to preserve the life of ourselves, our family, and others. Well, are you always prepared to do what you want to do for preparedness? I mean, are you physically prepared? Or are you spiritually prepared? We want to be prepared for both. So how are you doing? Now, there is the short-term needs that we all have, and we can do something about those all the time. Short-term preparations, the basics. But what about the other things beyond gas and groceries for the needs that are more spiritual or the needs that are more in line with a storehouse of supplies? Are you getting those things prepared also? They might be needed. We have questions, and we really don't know how things are going to go. So we want to stay prepared for us and our family and for our relation with God. And now we all start someplace with our relation with God. It's different for all of us. Me, I didn't start on that until I was over 40. And so I know that if we can live whatever life we have, and it doesn't take long to start your relationship with God, Jesus. So I want to encourage you to do that. It's never too late, and it wasn't too late for me, so I know it's not going to be too late for you. And we want to stay spiritually and physically prepared. We all have a different way of doing that, and the thing is we do something. We say a little prayer to God. It might be, God, if you're real, show me. And we do a little preparedness for the things that we need to live, like rice and beans or cans of whatever it is. And we have those set aside for our just-in-case. That's what we do. We get prepared for the just-in-case. Ultimately, that is the end of our life. And so we do things to maintain our life, to take care of the people who we know and love, and we do something in the spiritual way, and that means the relationship with God, Jesus. That we might just read the Bible for that. That is tremendously helpful to reinforce our ideas and to learn something new. God is truth. God is love. And we find that when we pray and when we read the Bible. All these things are a delight for us to do. It is good for our spirit, soul, and even our body as we go through life. God has a way of living, and He tells us in the Bible about what to do. As to having crop, for instance, and having rest, for instance. Well, we learn from the Bible, and we learn from each other, and see what to do better and better. We even learn from our own shortcomings, and I've done that plenty. But the thing is continue growing in your love and in your life experience. And the idea is, yes, to learn and then to do better as we go through life. This is episode 90, and you might want to start your preparations now before there is an urgent need and what you want becomes hard to find. Remember to give thanks to God for the blessings that you do have, and we do have so many, many blessings. God bless you.
Your letters with questions or donations are important. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Email prepareforgod@usa.com. Thank you for listening to Preparedness Thoughts on KKXX.
Soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art!